God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We are continuing our sermon series on prayer. That's the topic entitled, Is God Listening, Particularly When It Seems Like Evil Is Winning? What happens in our lives when evil sort of touches us or touches our family or friends or the world around us? Does that mean that God isn't listening anymore? Does that mean that God has turned his back against us? Some people may think that, but I'm here to tell you that God's word says, no, God is always listening. He does care what's happening to you, what's happening to your family, what's happening to the world around us. It is so easy to fall into the trap by responding that when evil seems to be winning, either God isn't paying attention or, more than likely, our expectation is that God should smite the evil. And please notice that I call this a trap. It is a trap. Not that I want evil to win, don't get me wrong here, but it's a trap if we start thinking that God must be our sort of assassin, our sort of hitman, our person that we need to go to when we have a vendetta. However, God doesn't work that way. Is God listening when evil seems to be winning? God teaches us that he is listening. Yes, God is almighty, and he can do all things, and he has done all things, and he has defeated sin, death, and the devil. We can ask God to deal with evil. We can ask God to punish the evildoers. But it is wrong for us to expect that the results of those punishments would be known to us to create a special sense of joy or a shout of victory, thinking, yes, we got it. You know, we live in a day and age when we sort of have that little victorious moments. You know, we sort of like to have that clenched fist and you sort of like to go, yes, we got one for the team. The bad guy was put down. However, God wants us to be very, very cautious because that's the trap. Let me illustrate it this way. Is it wrong to rejoice in someone's death? Is it wrong to rejoice when someone is getting punishment? If you see a state trooper pulling someone over for speeding, what's your reaction? Yes, there's justice in the world. But now what would happen if they pulled you over for speeding? We may not have that same reaction, would we? Would we celebrate and going, yes, there's justice in the world. Isn't it great? Thank you, officer, for writing me a ticket. No, we wouldn't do anything like that. So why would we rejoice when someone else is being punished? It is wrong for us to rejoice in someone else's punishment or death. We have to remember, God loves all people. He created them. He loves and he cares for them. If you want joy in the celebration, there is joy in the celebration of the evildoer, but it's not with people. It is with the evildoer. We look to the cross of Jesus Christ and we remember on that Good Friday when Jesus died on the cross, he defeated sin, death, and the devil. That is where our victory is at. And that's why the church celebrates triumphantly on Easter. The day the church celebrates the resurrection of the dead. That is where our joy is at. But some of you may be thinking to yourselves and shaking your heads, yeah, well, that may be true, Pastor. But when I experience the hurt personally, I feel like I want to hurt someone personally. When I feel that hurt personally coming to me or my family, I want satisfaction personally. And the cross of Jesus Christ, yes, I understand it, but that was 2,000 years ago. How can I identify that to help me overcome my heart telling me I want the satisfaction now? Well, let's unpack that for a little bit. Do we really need to have satisfaction? personally? Or can we take a look at the satisfaction that God has accomplished for us with His death and resurrection from the cross for the forgiveness of your sins? Our sinful flesh is strong. We want to have that personal satisfaction. But the cross of Jesus says, I will give it to you, but it's on God's term. God's term for our satisfaction is when Jesus dies on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Do we need to see evil personally put down for our satisfaction so that our faith in Jesus Christ will continue? Because that's ultimately what's at stake. And I think most of us would probably say, well, no, not really. That isn't what I was thinking of. But what happens when evil comes into our lives and it consumes us so much that if there isn't a positive resolution to our own satisfaction, we start turning our back upon God and saying, okay, God, where are you? Why aren't you listening to me? And the answer is God is listening. God does love. He does care. He just wants to refocus you from your selfish desires to the cross of Jesus Christ. Now again, don't get me wrong. We don't delight in evil in this world. We just want to make sure that we're not delighting in someone else's punishment and someone else's death. Because that's exactly where our sinful nature wants to take us. It wants to take us that evil is some sort of, and if I can just use this as a way of illustrating, some sort of spectator sport. I know that sounds strange. But we live in a world where we want to see our side win. We want to be on the winning team. We want the thrill of satisfaction. We want to be jumping up and down and encouraging our team. Except for Scripture gives us a little bit of a different way of confronting evil. You see, confronting evil in today's society is not some sort of spectator sport in which we sit in the stands and we yell and cheer for our God, our Almighty God, to smite out the evil ones and to have the final victory. Because we know Christ has already won the final victory with His death and resurrection. Again, confronting evil is not a spectator sport. God is expecting something from us. Not just to sit in the stands and eat popcorn and cheer Him along the way. God wants us to get into the action. Now, this might start getting a little scary here. We need to get into the action, remembering that no matter what happens when we get into the action, even if we get hurt, even if we have that victory, mini victory, we have to remember that the ultimate victory is already won through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what is God calling us to do to confront evil? Our prayers should be based this way. Lord, help me to do good. Lord, help me to avoid evil. We can pick up these concepts, especially out of the Lord's Prayer, where we say, Lord, deliver us from evil. Yes, the Lord does want us to be good. And that is one way of confronting evil. Nowhere in our prayers, especially in the Lord's Prayer, do we ever say, Lord, give it to the bad guy. Because we have to remember something. We also are the bad guy. Jesus reminds us, especially when we think about the fifth commandment, you shall not murder. Most of us will say, Pastor, I've never murdered anyone. But Jesus reminds us as a little bit of a further explanation. Whoever hates his brother in his heart is a murderer. We also need to remember that God is a merciful God. When we bring our confession of sins before our Lord, what kind of response do we want from God? Do we want God to smite the sinner? No. When we come before our Lord with our own sins and our own shortcomings, what do we want from God? We want God to be true to His nature. Love, mercy, We want Jesus, as Jesus is the Christ, to be that merciful God. As Jesus was dying on the cross, those sinners who nailed him up there, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Likewise, when us sinners come and we gather and we confess our sinfulness, we confess we have a sinful nature, we confess, yes, we've screwed up. What do we want from God? Those same words. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So how is it that if we get pulled over for speeding, we want forgiveness from the state trooper, but yet when we see someone else being pulled over for speeding, do our hearts just go to the direction, yes, there is justice in this world? Well, I'm here to say our justice is not in the earthly punishments, but in the cross of Jesus Christ, where we receive forgiveness. Stephen in Acts chapter 7, even when he was personally being attacked. Now, Stephen isn't God. God is almighty. He's all loving. He can truly forgive other people. But can this happen for us human beings? Stephen in Acts chapter 7, while being stoned by the religious leaders and council members, cried out to Lord Jesus to receive his spirit and, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. That is the response God wants us to have in our prayers and in our lives when evil seems to be winning. Wow, this is challenging. This is next to impossible. And if you're getting to that point, then great. Then you realize you need help. You realize you need a Savior. You realize that hopefully that, you realize this, that we were all born evil. We were all separated from God. And that is the way our sinful nature works. And so we come before God because it is God who has called us. It is God who has redeemed us. It is God who says you don't have to follow your sinful nature. It is God who says, I will take care of the justice. You just need to follow me. Share that love. Share that forgiveness. Because this is where the gospel comes in. God forgives sinners. He loves sinners. Not just the sinners that find themselves here at Trinity Lutheran Church in West Chicago, Illinois, but even all those sinners out there. No matter how bad their sin is, Jesus dies on the cross for the forgiveness of their sins. Now we just have to ask, or God just wants us to do good to them, to share our faith, so that they will come to realize this through the help of the Holy Spirit, so that they will believe and trust in God above all things. If you think you've got a handle on this, I have one little last test question for you. Can you take the person who has hurt you the most in your life or who is hurting you now? Can you take the evil that is happening from them? And can you truly say with your heart, Lord, work your Holy Spirit within them. Help them to turn so that I will be able to greet them in heaven above. Now that's a tough question. This isn't easy by no means. It can't come from us. It can only come from God. And that's why we gather. That's why we gather on a weekly basis to hear this encouraging word of God. This is why God gathers us so that we can hear about His forgiveness. And this is why here at Trinity we feel it's so important, because God's word tells us to come and gather and to share a meal through the Lord's Supper, where we actually physically taste and see Christ's body and blood with that bread and wine. Again, for the strengthening of our faith, because we can't do it ourselves. And with that body and blood, as Matthew's gospel so wonderfully reminds us, there is forgiveness of sins. Is there forgiveness for those people who have fallen short of God's glory and who know better? You better believe there's forgiveness, because of Christ's victory over sin, death, and the devil. That is why we put our faith in God, in a loving God, in a merciful God. So if you are struggling with an unforgiving heart, if you're struggling with a personal vendetta or grudge against you or against someone else, if there is hate or refusal to love someone, then come and taste the sweetness of Christ's victory through that bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins and the strengthening of your faith. Now, an interesting part of our liturgy actually fits in very well with this. So let me just teach it very quickly. Right after the words of institution, when I, as your pastor, say, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And with the cup, he did the same thing. "This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." After that section of scripture, there's a break, and it's then the pastor says, "The peace of the Lord be with you." Pay attention, hopefully I do this right, to where my hands are sort of directing you. My hands is directing you to the peace of the Lord's Supper, what's before me. Sometimes pastors will actually take the chalice and take the host and elevate it in front of them and saying, "This is the peace of the Lord." You want true peace? You want true mercy? It doesn't come from our hearts. Our hearts want vendettas. Our hearts want personal satisfaction. True peace comes from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is where peace is found. It is Christ who brings peace and victory over sin, death, and the devil. This is why when we come to the Lord's Supper, we come with a celebration. You want a celebration? You're going to have it in this meal, where we receive Christ's love, his forgiveness for the sins of the whole world. This is our celebration. So when it seems like evil is winning and our hearts are sad, let us have that joyous celebration. And we come to the Lord, where his word is proclaimed and where his sacraments are administered. That is our celebration. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.